All right, Lynn, and we're moving from the BBC perspective to a military perspective with retired General Anthony Zinni. He led U.S. Central Command until 2000 and was a high-profile critic of the Iraq invasion, I'm sure you remember. He has a new book out about leadership called Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. Welcome, General.
Good to be with you, Amy.
Elections are tomorrow in Afghanistan. How crucial is it that the Afghans turn out to vote?
I think it's critical that these elections go well. It would be a signal of increasing stability and the influence of the current government to control things. Should it go badly, I think it will set back considerably faith in the government and faith in the stabilization operations that we're conducting.
Now, there are literally dozens of candidates running against the current president, Hamid Karzai, but his main challenger is his own former foreign minister, Abdullah Abdullah. What would it mean for U.S. forces and our fight against the Taliban if Abdullah Abdullah became president?
Well, I've met Abdullah Abdullah and had some long conversations with him. He's a very impressive individual. I think whichever way this goes, it wouldn't affect our operations there and how we do business. In many ways, I think either candidate is going to have basically the same approach as it concerns us and our involvement and our cooperation with the government.
General Zinni, what do you think about reports of our forces meeting with so-called moderate Taliban leaders in order to try to quell the violence?
From my time out in this region, in Pakistan and the area, there seems to be a consensus that there are some reconcilable Taliban, that's the term they use, that all Taliban are not the same. Their motivations may be different, and the reasons that they oppose us vary and are different. And so if there are incentives and if there are agreements that can be reached that certainly lessen the number of enemy we face, I'm all for that. Going back to my time in Vietnam, we certainly had worked with the Viet Cong who had defected or were willing to defect and had some programs of engaging them and actually turning some of them around to working with our military forces.
General Zinni, it's interesting that you bring up Vietnam because a lot of people characterize that war as having become a quagmire. How will we know if we're succeeding in Afghanistan? What, you know, the buzzword are metrics. How do we measure it?
I think there's several ways. If you look at the objectives of the administration's strategy, one, they want to internationalize this, meaning share the burden. We need to see more boots on the ground that are not just U.S. and willing to take on combat missions outside just the Brits, the Canadians, and a few others. We need to see more regional cooperation. If we could begin to see the Pakistanis and Afghans and even Indians beginning to coordinate and work together, we'll probably have to pull that together. I think the other metric is going to be the number of Afghan security forces, military and police, that we're able to put out there that are effective and are able to accompany our soldiers and Marines on their operations. This last operation with thousands of Marines, we just had a few hundred Afghan security forces. Obviously, that's got to change. And so those are the kinds of things I'd look for. And on top of that, the ability of the Kabul government to reach out, be effective, and influence things outside the capital city.
So, General Zinni, how long do you think we have to see success?
I think, the longest pole in the tent is going to be the development of the Afghan security forces. And this is just my view, but I think it's going to take 3 years to really have them in a position where they start standing up and taking hard missions,
Do you think President Obama has 3 years to show the American people success in Afghanistan?
I think it's critically important that he pay attention to American will and the ability to stay with this. He needs to constantly assure the American people of why we're there, what we're doing, what the objectives are. We're 8 years away from 9/11, and I'm concerned that maybe we've lost focus about who perpetrated it and their ability to repeat those kinds of attacks, if not here or elsewhere, against our interests around the world, which they will do. And obviously, we saw the atrocities the Taliban committed, not only on their own people, but places that they invaded, like the Swat Valley. And those atrocities, I don't think the international community should tolerate.
Secretary Gates, he very visibly put General McChrystal in charge and took out General McKiernan. How do you think this reflects on Secretary Gates' leadership style?
Well, obviously, he's his own man. I mean, that's the fourth general he's seen out the door, if you think about it. And It means he's in charge. He is decisive. He knows the strategy that he wants. And if those in uniform can't implement that strategy, he's going to take measures to ensure it happens. So you want a secretary that's decisive. You want a secretary that has a clear-minded strategy for what he wants to do, and not just the military. I mean, Gates has said many things about the need to improve our other elements and agencies of government. To quote General Petraeus, we can't shoot our way to victory in these kinds of missions. You know, we need the State Department, USAID, and others on the ground. That is going to be the greatest measure of success, not just how many security forces we train or enemy we kill.
Thank you for joining us, General. That's retired General and former Commander-in-Chief of U.S. Central Command, Tony Zinni. He has a new book out called Leading the Charge, Leadership Lessons from the Battlefield to the Boardroom. So in talking with General Zinni, Lynn, there's really this question, how will we know that we're winning the war in Afghanistan?
Well, that's exactly the right question when you asked it. It's precisely what we need to know, because this is such a reflection on the Obama presidency. This is front and center of what the administration needs to fix, deal with. So we're all watching for that reason. And I have to tell you, though, it's for those of us who have covered American elections for so many years and participated in them, the whole concept of violence during an election and the idea that you are afraid to go to the polls, it's so foreign to us. I know we're used to reading about it and hearing about it in other countries, but don't you think that what a mindset there is that says
it
you
is.
Have to go to the polls.
It's incredible. And I remember when when we first saw the Iraqis going to the polls, it brought tears to my eyes, frankly, to see. Do you remember the photos of the women, the video walking down the middle of the street with such courage and bravery to say, I'm going to cast my vote? It's something I guess we as Americans were so lucky that we don't have to, endure those conditions.
Well, tomorrow is the big day, and obviously we'll be getting those results when they start to come in. Meanwhile, Forbes magazine releases its list of the 100 most powerful women in the world later today. So who do you think belongs on that list? And do we actually still need a separate list of female moguls? We want to hear from you. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org.